first item, which is the Confederation Line update. Obviously, a very exciting time in our city as we start the countdown towards Saturday and the service of the LRT. And Mr. Manconi and his team have been burning the midnight oil, making sure everything is ready for Saturday. And we thank you for all of your years of hard work on this, John. This has been probably the most challenging file you've ever had as a public servant. And we appreciate both your competency as well as your patience in dealing with this complex project that is a true city building project. So the floor is yours, and I believe we have a presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Merci. The first presentation is on stage one, and then we'll take questions. Then I'll turn over to Mr. Morgan for stage two, and we'll take questions on that. So, Mr. Mayor, members of committee, members of council, 4 days until the biggest milestone in Ottawa's transit history, the first bus rapid transit to light rail transit system conversion in the world, the busiest LRT line on opening day in North America. So many firsts, and locally everyone is watching. The transit and the transportation world is watching us also from across North America and worldwide. So nearly a decade of hard work, planning, consulting, designing, constructing, and testing will become a reality this Saturday. And staff from our team across the city, all the departments, Rideau Transit Group and Rideau Transit Maintenance are working literally 24/7 ensuring that the Confederation Line is ready for our customers in our great city. We've been running many, many drills over the last number of days and weeks leading up to launch. That's just a small taste of some of the drills that we've been doing, and that's to ensure that we're ready for anything that comes our way, and this is what the best practices do. Everything from biohazards to evacuations, smoke on the train, and so forth. So a long list of rehearsals and drills and lessons learned and documentation and involvement from many people. The drills include all our staff, our operators, our controllers, our supervisors, special constables, customer service, and emergency protective services, fire, police, paramedics. And I want to thank them. They've been together with us on this journey. And that's, again, ensuring that we're ready for any event. We had a dress rehearsal on Saturday. I want to thank all of the city partners, city departments, the GMs, volunteered staff from their organizations. The rehearsal went really well. It did a couple of things. People were given specific assignments so we could test not just the systems, but also the staff. So, you know, we even had a lost child scenario. We had people trying to ensure that all the systems work. And equally important is a fresh set of eyes that come back and give us observations and logs and so forth. So it was a very good process for us. We also held a lot of tours for many stakeholders. That's a small sampling of the list. These folks were very appreciative. And again, a fresh set of eyes through their lenses and through an integrated community, holistic, bringing everybody from the city in, because that system is for everyone, built with the latest and the greatest features, the most one of the most accessible systems in North America that you've invested in. And we've spared no expense to ensure that it's all-inclusive, safe, and accessible for everyone. Customer outreach, we're doing a lot of things to ensure that our number one priority is clearly focused and attended to, and that's our customers. There's a lot of change coming for everyone. So signs at bus stops and stations, I'm sure you've seen those. Messaging through all our various channels. The mailouts, very, very important. We started those last Friday. Every single household in the city will receive one. And then a second mailout occurs the week of September 23rd. That's to take them through the journey of the changes. The red vests, many of you have commented about the visibility of the red vests, both at your councillor meetings, but also out on the system, and not just the train stations, they're at key transfer points and so forth. We're working on a very concerted effort to ensure that all the stations and the amenities have a deep clean so that they're ready for our customers. That's occurring all this week, and that's ensuring that everything is up to standard. On Saturday, there is a media event and the ceremonial ride. It's going to mark the opening of the line, and it starts at Tunney's Pasture. There'll be formal remarks by all three levels of our funding partners and representations from the Indigenous leaders, who, of course, play a critical part in this project. And then guests will be invited to board the train for the inaugural ride. Public opening is at 2 p.m. on Saturday. Lots of questions on that. There's a lot of thought that's been given to that. There is staging that needs to occur and so forth in terms of opening up sequentially and everything else. We'll have Red Vest staff all over the place flooding the system to ensure that we're there to assist anyone. And then from 2:30 to 4:30 at all the stations along the line, councillors are doing special events with local musicians, art representatives to discuss the fantastic works of arts that are in the station. So that's something that we're very proud of, and thank you to all the councillors that have participated in that. So key dates for customers, all of this is out there. You've heard it many times. This becomes a question of repeating it, and making sure that we can support everyone. We have the 3 weeks of parallel bus service. That will remain in place. On Sunday, October the 6th, your bus network undergoes major changes to align with the Confederation line, and the bus service gets peeled off. It's removed. Customers, if they're asking you where do I go for information, octransport.com is your first best bet on planning out your route. Remembering that while some people may want to try to take in all of the changes, what is important for the commuter is their commute. And in the many sessions we've had and the feedback, when you see the people, the red vests at the stations, it's all about that. Every one of those members have been trained. They have pocketbooks with every single route, so they can not only just talk to the customers, but also show them their route changes and so forth. Check mailboxes is another reminder to our residents, and if you can do that through your channels, that's also helpful. And then the second notice is coming through also on the 23rd. On the 14th, there will be some changes. So the bus service at Blair will be adjusted to serve the new bus platforms. And yes, it has been stress tested, as you know. If you recollect, we did that a few months ago. Westbound, the bus stops at Albert and Bayview are going to be moved to adjacent to the station plaza. Again, this is a lot of information. It's relevant to those people that use it, and they've been adjusting their plans accordingly. The entrance to Saint-Laurent station from Tremblay will reopen. That's important. And the fare paid zones at Tunney's, Herdman, Blair, and Bayview come into effect. And then service adjustments for the routes that are listed at the bottom of the slide. Then we move into service integration and the expansion. So everything's mapped out in terms of what we have to do. We have to remove the detours for the East End councillors. You'll be happy to know we are pushing MTO very hard that the first one that needs to come off is the 417 connection. I know you've waited long and hard for that one there. We've prioritized it accordingly. Then the Lees Avenue one. And then there is work that RTG has to do, the Nicholas Street area, the realignment of the bus lanes on Laurier. I know Councillor Flody has been asking about that one. The removal of the eastbound and overhead bus lanes on Scott Street. I know Councillor Leeper's been asking about that, so we briefed him on that. And then the Albert Street and Booth Street adjustments accordingly. Also, we have to do some signage changes on 174. I can assure members of committee and councillors that Mr. Landry and his team are the quarterbacks on all the traffic logistics. We're not doing anything in isolated. It's all an integrated system, all integrated mobilities, and it's all users. It's cars, automobiles, trucks, cyclists, pedestrians, and so forth. And yes, we've had a few glitches. I know we did something that buggered up Councillor Harder and Councillor Brockington's area, but we moved quickly to adjust that with their support. So it's an integrated transportation system, and we're doing that accordingly. Then on October 6th, this is when your investment kicks in of the $5 million. I know many counselors have been asking about that, so it's literally around the corner. Over 100 routes will be adjusted. The bus volume on Albert and Slater, one of the dividends of your investment, will reduce significantly. And then you'll have better, faster connections with the investments that you've also made. And there's some renumbering of routes. And again, we're providing information through various channels. We will remain in place until late October, and we've built the plans so that our support staff can stay longer if they need to. So we're literally monitoring it day by day. So lastly, look for the red vests out there. They're your best friend. They can help you out if you have any question on any matter, not just the service. Thank you. Be happy to take any questions.
Great. So we have one member of the public that would like to speak to this item before we get to councillors' questions and comments. Alex Cullen. You have 5 minutes, Mr. Cullen.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, last Wednesday I had the privilege of riding the system as a representative of the Council on Aging. I was accompanied by members of the accessibility community. OC Transpo had organized this. We were to test the train, look at a couple of stations, and I want to tell you that this is going to be a very exciting event. I've been looking forward to this happening. We assembled at the William Street entrance to Rideau Station. That's a deep station. You take 4 escalators to get down there. I can tell you that the station itself is airy, is well lit, is dry. Just want to underline that little element. We checked out the gates. We checked out the fare payments. We checked out the signage. Very impressive. The art as well. We took the train. This is Wednesday afternoon at 1 o'clock, Mr. Mayor. Some of you may recognize the timing because apparently the night before there was some incident that the media covered. But the system was running at 1 o'clock Wednesday afternoon. We took the train out to Herdman Station, which is a fare paid zone, whatever the phrase is. We're shown how the system was going to work there, the signage for picking up the buses. We took the train back to Plimsey, very nice station, good pedestrian access. My colleagues that were testing the system, that was our job, to experience the system. The train ride smooth, good room. We had some minor suggestions, but they were minor, part of the teething process. But overall, it was a very good experience. So I just wanted to let you know that some of you have already been on the system and already know this already. One thing I did discover in talking to OC Transpo staff that the weekend is not going to be free. And I think that's a marketing misstep that this council should correct downstream. I remember when the Montreal Metro opened, I was a teenager in Montreal at the time. It was free that first weekend. Thousands used that system. We looked at all the stations because it was sold as every station was individually designed. And it was proved to be an instant success. Lord knows this city needs a bump up in transit ridership. Here is a marketing opportunity, particularly on a weekend when the demand on the system is low. And you have the opportunity to not only come out and test what you're going to deal with on Monday with rush hour, but you have the opportunity to bring your family out, your friends out, and just look at this modern, new facility that, quite frankly, will be one of the jewels of this town. So I want to leave that with you. I suspect there's some work behind the scenes on this already. I would have preferred seeing it for this weekend. Please consider that for the future because, as you all know, marketing this system is the first stage of a multi-stage system. Stage 2 will make it very clear to the residents of Ottawa what value this investment is. Stage 1 is only 14 kilometers, and there's, as we all know, there's going to be some disruption as we transition over. So the more that we can show people the potential of the system, the more we're going to attract riders. So please consider in the future a fare-free weekend to entice the residents out. And that's my message today, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Any questions for the delegation? To the delegation? Go ahead. Councillor Moffat.
Mr. Cullen, I just wanted to thank you for your exchange with the Green Party member from Cape Breton, Canso. I was listening on the radio to that, and I thought you did a great job clarifying some of the misconceptions that certain Green Party candidate from Cape Breton, Canso had about our line here in Ottawa. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Councillor.
Great. Thank you very much. Okay, thank you. Next questions. We have Councillor Hubley, please, on the presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd just like to take this opportunity to thank Mr. Manconi and Mr. Morgan and their team for all their work that they've done on this project. I've had the honor and privilege to be a part of the process with them and to see what they're doing and witness what our residents are about to get to see for themselves this weekend. And so if you don't mind, I'd like to take the opportunity to thank them here at VETCO for their work and reassure residents that, you know, Mr. Manconi and I were down there Sunday morning watching some of the testing of the system that was going on, and they are thinking about every possible scenario and testing for it to make sure that we have plans in place should. And eventually some things are going to happen that are going to impact the system. And it gives me great confidence to know that these issues have been tested and there's plans in place for when something happens to ensure, as OC Transpo has done for decades in this city, ensure that people can get to where they're going on public transportation, no matter what the issue is that comes up. So thank you, Mr. Manconi and Mr. Morgan.
Thank you very much. Councillor Brockington, please.
Thank you, Your Worship. And I just want to concur with Councillor Hubley. I want to give my thanks to staff as well. I mean, we're finally here, and, you know, thanks aren't good enough at this time, but I hope council has an opportunity at some point in the autumn to recognize, you know, all the hands that went into this from start to finish. It really is quite a feat. I've talked about sort of the emergency process for over a year now because I really want people who ride the system to really understand, in the unlikely event that something happens, what they are supposed to do throughout that process. Can you just describe what the average station looks like as far as providing information to riders should something happen, not just evacuation signage, but how to leave the station and also how to get to that bus stop nearby that will provide the replacement service?
Yes, no, that's a great question. So the number one message is if there's an evacuation, you look for the evacuation signs, the exit signs, which are, when you see the stations, are clearly marked. But the multiple sources of information that go to customers is the following. Number one, station announcements, which get controlled from the control center, which has full visibility and full SCADA of every station. The scenario that Chair Hubley was talking about on the weekend, we simulated a train that had three injuries, had to do an evacuation, had to get someone who was in a wheelchair out and evacuated, and evacuate all customers. So there's the audibles, there's the alarms, there's also what is the most important thing, and that's staff at the platforms telling people what to do, especially if there's smoke or there's any incidents like that. But what's also equally important on top of all that is the critical infrastructure. So on the weekend, we tested the exhaust fans, which we simulated smoke. And what you want to do is draw that smoke away from your platforms. You always pull it away. So we have that. On top of all of that, we also have some of the best SCADA control systems in the industry for our fire department. One of the counselors was asking me, why are all the fire trucks moving up to the stations, getting out with a set of keys? Those are the fire platoons going to every single station. And you'll see an electronic board at the top. That's their SCADA on top. So they can do their command posts there, rather than having to go down to the station and so forth. We're integrated with all the emergency protective services folks, and I want to thank Tony DeMonte, Pierre, and all the chiefs. They've been phenomenal. Their teams are embedded right with our designers, and they've been instrumental in addressing exactly what you're speaking about, Councillor.
It's my understanding that there'd be two direct mailed pieces of literature going to every home in the city. One is generic citywide, and the other would be neighborhood specific to a homeowner to talk about, I guess, bus route changes and their local LRT station. I haven't received anything yet, so when are those expected to be mailed?
We had confirmation from our supplier in Canada Post. We started mailouts on Friday, and that's because we wanted to ensure that everybody got it no later than this Friday. So it's supposed to occur all through this week.
A few weeks ago, there were noise issues identified in Kitchissippi Ward. I'm not sure what the update is on that as far as mitigating noise along the rails. Have any other communities raised noise-related issues?
Yes, Councillor Cloutier has an issue with bells from the trains in the yard that we're working with him and his community, and we're mapping out a series of actions. We have the end solution. This is the interim that we got to work with our teams.
And just my last question: you and I have met to talk about a number of things, but also certainly acknowledging the challenges that the people of Ottawa have gone through the last few years, the fact that we're behind, we're finally rolling out this weekend. But as the delegate indicated, I see great value in having an opportunity to really target the system to the non-daily rider, to get people who don't use public transit at all or the occasional rider, and within the first month have an opportunity, a free day where we really market the system to those people. The ultimate goal is to attract more riders to LRT than are using the buses now. So can you provide an update on where we are with respect to a free day in the next 4 to 6 weeks?
Yes, Councillor, and for other members of the committee, I had a very good discussion with Councillor Brockington on, I like where he went. He moved us away from a free day on the weekend, and it's not because we don't want to do it, it's just there's so many challenges on the weekend, and we're concerned with inundating the system and so forth on top of all the changes. So where Councillor Brockington went to was, is there a possibility of doing a free Sunday sometime in the fall? I shared that with Chair Hubley and the mayor. They're both very supportive. We think it's a very good idea. It's on the to-do list. I don't have a date for you. We're going to come back to Transit Commission and talk through that. But I do want to thank the councillor. It was a good idea, and I know Chair Hubley and the mayor were very supportive, and I'm sure we'd get support around the table for that.
Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you, Councillor Brockington. Councillor Leeper.
Thank you. I was at street parties all weekend. People are excited. They're getting ready to ride the train. It's going to be an exciting opening. I do have to ask, so what is the update on the noise issue that we're experiencing through that portion to the east of Parkdale Avenue? I don't think that the rail grinding has been done yet. When can we expect that, and what are the next steps to be taken on that issue?
So the rail grinding there's two mitigations. The first one is rail grinding of the rails in that particular area. Rail grinding is actually going to take place across the entire line, so we'll see.
And I'm really sorry, it's difficult to hear back here. I'm just wondering, I think I had spoken to some of the mayor's staff in the previous FEDCO meeting. We have a hard time hearing at this back table, and I'm wondering whether the meetings can be held in council chambers moving forward. But if I can just ask you to start over, because it is difficult to hear.
Sure. So the noise mitigation in that particular area is really a two-step process. The first step in the process is the rail grinding. The rail grinding, we spoke to RTG last night, and they're going to start rail grinding this week is their plan. So look for that activity. There'll be some equipment on the line overnight. We haven't experienced in that particular area that machine on that location, but we have used that machine on the Trillium line in the past, and so we've got some comfort that it won't be too disruptive running that piece of equipment. So that's kind of the first mitigation. We're going to start in the Parkdale area near that one that one location that's been problematic, but actually we're going to do the entire line, so there will be some benefit with that rail grinding across the entire system. The second thing is really the installation of rail dampers in that particular section of the rock cut. It has a unique configuration due to the vertical clearance limitations. We're going to install rail dampers on the rail in that area, so we've gotten the go-ahead to do that. We're doing some final analysis on the type of rail dampers and kind of the number that we need to make sure that we maximize the noise reduction in that area. That work is probably 12 to 14 weeks out in terms of being able to install those dampers. So the rail grinding should start this week. As of last night, RTG said it was starting. And then the rail dampers is still a little ways out.
Thank you. I'm not sure whether you want me to hold the next question for the next update on stage two, but what lessons are learned with respect to the noise in stage one that we'll be applying to stage two to make sure that noise doesn't repeat itself through the length of that trench?
So, Mr. Mayor, we have that same configuration between Tunney's and Dominion, so the same issue with a rock cut, limited vertical clearance, and so, you know, based on our experience with the dampers, between Bayview and Tunney's, we're going to install those same dampers between Tunney's and Dominion to make sure that the noise in that area is reduced. We've looked across the rest of the system. That configuration is unique to that area. It doesn't exist elsewhere. Elsewhere, it's ballast with ties, and so we haven't seen noise issues to the same extent as we've seen in the rock cut area in other locations. So once we have the kind of the feedback and the results of the dampers in this first section of stage one, we'll then issue a variation to the contractor to install those same dampers for the Tunney's to Dominion section of track in stage two.
Thank you, Mayor.
Councillor McKenney, please.
Thank you. We had a lot of discussions around public washrooms and access to public washrooms at the stations. Could you just remind us where the public washrooms will be, which stations will be located, and how they'll be provided?
There's four stations. Sorry, what was the second part, Councillor?
Just how they're provided. Like, are they in the fair? Like,
yes, they're in the fair paid zone.
Yeah.
So we have washrooms at Blair and Tunney's, and I'm just off memory, Bayview, and there's another one.
I think
Herdman.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. And for for the stations where there are no washrooms, is there going to be any kind of signage to say where, you know, if somebody's on the train and has to go, is there going to be any indication for folks that, you know, they can possibly use a washroom at the next station? How are we going to accommodate for not having them at every station, just in terms of messaging for folks?
It's a mix of things. So pushing out the information about washrooms. I know CTV had that on their news last night. But the other thing that we're doing is at critical locations where we know there's washrooms nearby, we're seeing if we can connect up with mall owners and so forth. I know Councillor Brockington's asked the same thing. Could you get some type of signage that says, you know, there's a washroom over there and so forth? So,
right. And that would be outside of the fair paid zone then?
It's a mix. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a mix, yeah.
And the washrooms that we will be... that will be available in the fair paid zones. Will they be gender neutral washrooms, or are we going to take that step forward?
The two washrooms that you added are gender neutral, is my recollection. The other ones are male females.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Conseil Fleury, s'il vous plaît.
Monsieur Manconi, moi j'avais quelques questions au niveau. Premièrement, je pense que tout le monde. Vous n'avez pas besoin de resummariser ça. Mais je voulais vous demander, on a encore des éléments de travaux qui ont lieu à l'installation, surtout au niveau du paysagement. En tant que conseiller, on a des demandes des résidents parce que là, évidemment, le train va ouvrir. Quelles sont les bonnes procédures pour la communauté? Surtout, ce qui me vient en tête, c'est entre la station de l'Université d'Ottawa puis la station Lise, il y a encore beaucoup de paysagement à faire dans ces environs-là. Est-ce que approche comme
on n'a pas la date exactement, tout le travail qui remet pour autour de Ottawa U, mais on peut prendre ça, donne ça à toi, à ton bureau.
Okay. I just the contractor will say, well, you have a period. The fall, the spring.
All
No, absolutely. We've got all that covered, I can assure you. But what I'll do is I'll get Mr. Morgan to come and brief your office directly on what's going to get done when.
Great. And then my final question relates to spaces in the station. So can you remind us, obviously there's always business opportunities and the customer experience, the little cafes and so on that eventually could happen in various areas. What is the, remind us of the intent and remind us of if there is a process for applications for future businesses in our stations.
So we do have commercial space in a number of stations. We do have a preferred person that bid on it. We are in the final stages. Mr. Willis and his real estate team are finalizing that. We have some exciting news that will be coming as soon as we finalize the documentation. With that company, it'll provide some excellent amenities for our customers. The other spaces, don't forget, is we did some amazing work with the buskers. We have buskering spaces designated, artistic space designated. We have the art program, and when you get through the stations, you'll see all that. The busker signs just went up a few days ago. The fit-up space, once we sign the contract, I know the proponent wants to move very quickly. So it'll be that all-in experience that you're talking about. So
just to clarify what you were saying, so there is the window for submissions for the businesses and stations is closed, and you're expecting news, but that would be the full sum of commercial spaces that are available that will be dealt with as part of that agreement?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Merci. Councillor Menard, please.
Thanks very much, Mr. Mayor. We held a Ready for Rail session last night, which was very well attended and had some very good feedback from folks. People are excited about the rail line coming in. Councillors Brockington, Cloutier, Deans, and Meehan were there as well. My question is around that, you know, several residents have raised their bus lines changing as a result of the rail coming online. And some of them, their services is being reduced. So what are we doing for those residents? I think it's a small percentage compared to the folks that will be improving service, but what are we doing for the folks that are saying, look, my service is being reduced as a result of bus changes happening in congruence with the LRT coming online?
No, it's a great question. We, yourself, Councillor Eglie, I don't know where he is, but he had a similar discussion with me, and it wasn't about reduced, it was about scope and scale of change, and you've seen a few tweets about there is a very small percentage of our customer base that will have a double transfer and so forth. So what I'm telling councillors is the following. Let's get through the launch. Let's get through the bus route changes. Let's implement your $5.1 million investment, which affects just about everybody that had challenging routes. And then council has the new budget that's coming. I know there's further investments coming there. That's why we've got to keep the fares going and all those things so that we can fund all that stuff and the capital and the operating. And then we're going to work with councillors. Nothing is perfect in life. So we're going to have some routes that may need some tweaking, councillor, and we're happy to work with any councillor. But all we're asking for is some support and patience to get through this largest change in the history of your transit system ever. Get through that. And then I believe there will be a few pockets that we're going to have to go a little bit the extra mile and sort it out and get innovative in that regard.
Okay, very much appreciate that, Mr. McConey. And just last question around the reliability piece came up a lot last night as well. And so is there any more information about, you know, why that shutdown occurred just recently with the train and more that we can get out publicly today?
Yeah, so I can tell you that RTG believes very strongly that the lightning storm did have an impact. We are zeroing in on root cause. They have some preliminary analysis. We need to give them time to go through the root cause on what exactly occurred. And it's like I said last week in terms of everything worked the way it was supposed to, and there's the root cause piece. You know, there was two questions remaining. What caused it and what was the root cause? We're zooming in on those, and as soon as we can share that information, we will.
Great. Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Blay, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor, and echo the congratulations to you and your team, Mr. Marconi. One question that remains outstanding is Orleans residents who currently can take one bus to get to work in Gatineau will obviously now face some challenges or a change in their ride. I'm wondering if you have clarity or when we expect clarity on the integration with STO and the transfer over to Portage and Chaudière.
So we have a meeting, I believe it's this week, with STO. They, as you can appreciate, with our changes in our dates, our delays, they had to adjust accordingly. They've asked for a lot of notice because it impacts them very significantly. And for those counselors that don't know, the STO buses, many of them are going to terminate at Lyon Station. So you're getting your downtown core back. You're going to have fewer buses, increased reliability of all your routes and so forth. So it's a huge change, and that took over a year of negotiations with the previous chair and the mayor and STO. We don't have a formal date as to when they're going to do their change. The mission is this week. I need to draw that out of them, and then I will share that with you. But they are being very cautious. It is a very significant change for them also. And I'll know later this week, hopefully. We're planning to ask them to give us a timetable to get back to us on the dates. Okay?
Councillor Meehan, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. McConey, one of the issues, the questions that arose last night at our Ready for Rail meeting was from senior citizens who are concerned about their passes, or if their passes are going to work for them.
Yes, Councillor, and if I may, I want my staff briefed me on the session yesterday, and they so appreciated all the positive stuff that you did there in terms of the tweeting out and so forth. So the seniors piece, that was part of the debrief from every session that we hold. I heard all the comments firsthand. I've heard it myself. So seniors, if their Presto card is programmed, they can get through no problem. However, remember you have the kiosk there with the, you press the button, you have a live agent. If there's any issue, they press that. The agent can override the gate. If there's any issue or they didn't get their card programmed, we let them in free. And so there's that. But what I asked Mr. Scrimger and the marketing and communications team is to, from all your sessions and your feedback, we adjust our comms plan accordingly. So on the seniors piece, we're going to push out more information. Happy to get that to you, too, if you want to get it out to your residents also.
Okay. And one other thing, there was some concern that when they get to Pimlico, how the seniors who go up to Good Companions are going to get there, because it's quite a hike from Pimlico up to, you know, where they are on what is it, Albert? But no. But how they get to the Good Companions, because the bus used to drop them off right at the front, and that's no longer going to happen.
I know I don't have all the details, but I know we had a very good session with Councillor McKinney at the Good Companions. I think it was a week ago. And I think we were addressing all those questions there. I don't have the answers for you, but we can certainly follow up, or perhaps Councillor McKinney knows off the top. But we take care of those folks, because there's a need to make sure that we're all inclusive there. So it's on our radar screen.
Good. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Councillor Meehan. Councillor Aglai, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. Mr. McConey, just for clarification, you and I have had some discussions around people traveling to the Gatineau side, in particular to Les Terrasses and Promenade, and some confusion about how that's going to work and whether there is going to be a connection that will get people directly to both of those locations for work purposes. I'm wondering if you could comment on that and clarify what the service is going to be in that regard.
Great feedback we had from yourself, Councillor, and Mr. Scrimger is targeting the information, because I think people are overcomplicating their route. I know there's some good choices for customers there. We're also going to equip our people with red vests at Tunney's, because it would be a major transfer point for people to get there. And Pat, I need a briefing from him, because I know he had his meeting with you. How is he going to push that information out? So it's on the list. I just don't have that with me. But it's a very good point.
Okay, does anyone else have any questions on this item? Okay, so next is Stage 2 LRT update. Mr. Manconi, or
Mr. Morgan's going to take you through Stage 2.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So a quick update on Stage 2. Stage 2 will add, just as a reminder, 44 kilometers of rail, 24 stations, 45 vehicles, and two additional maintenance and storage facilities. The total economic output from the project is approximately $5.6 billion and over 27,000 person years of employment. And with Stage 2 completed, the city's O-Train network will bring 77% of Ottawa residents within 5 kilometers of fast, efficient, clean, and reliable light rail service. So I'll start with the Trillium Line extension and talk a little bit about the work that's happening there. This is the overview project schedule showing when construction is going to start in different parts of the city. So if you see the purple solid line on the left, work has already started in that portion of the alignment. I'll show you some photos of the work that's ongoing there. The dotted blue line on the right, that's work that will start following the shutdown in May 2020. There's a lot of coordination effort in that area, including the MTO replacing the bridge over the Trillium Line, doing a grade separation of the crossing with Via Rail, essentially kind of refurbing the current Rideau River Bridge and extending all of the station platforms, adding two new stations to that area. In terms of the work that's basically been in progress to date, it's been a lot of geotechnical investigation, removal of trees, removal of topsoil, and getting ready to do the more advanced designs on the alignment. So if we go to a photo, so this is a quick, a shot of some of the tree removals, the topsoil removal. This is actually the location where the main track will diverge and provide a connection to the south and a connection to the airport link. From here, the grade of the line will increase, go to the right, and it'll go over the airport parkway, stay at elevation to get to the airport, and then we'll continue further south at grade with grade crossings at each of the major intersections. Some of the work is elevated guideway. Other work is putting the train onto an embankment. So this is some of the early utility work that we need to do to start building that embankment. Some of the early utility investigations to make sure where we go to put our footings and our foundations for the stations and for the elevated guideway, we're not obviously running into anything in the ground there. A new maintenance facility is going into Walkley Yard. So the existing Walkley Yard is on a leased CP facility, and there's a lead track that runs from that existing facility to the Trillium Line main line. It actually runs through the future footprint of the new facility. So the first thing that we had to do was actually move that track essentially over to the left, get it out of the way so that we can start construction on the new Walkley facility. So that Walkley facility comes off of the leased land and goes on to permanent city-owned lands. A little bit more in the south, I'll show you a photo here. This is just a little bit on the airport link. This is a caisson sleeve that's being installed. This is a section of, essentially there's an elevation change. We go from at grade over kind of a number of roads in the airport area to get to the upper level of the airport where we provide the connection to the airport from the Trillium Line. So some early work there, some early kind of construction. You'll see a lot of activity in this area basically going forward. And then just as a reminder on the new vehicles, we're getting 7 new vehicles, Stadler vehicles. It's the FLIRT vehicle. They're roughly 80 meters in length. They're being fully manufactured and assembled in Switzerland at that facility. They'll be taken apart, brought to Canada by boat and then by truck, reassembled at the new Walkley facility, and then they'll undergo final testing at Walkley Yard and on the line to demonstrate integration of the system, but also to get the final Transport Canada approvals. This is still a federally regulated railroad, and we follow all the Transport Canada regulations. So that's what's the status of the Trillium Line. On to the O-Train, the Stage 2 of the Confederation Line, east and west. So we'll start with the east. Here's essentially the overview of the construction works and the timing of the works. The crux of the works in the east is really the Montreal road exchange. The soils in that area are difficult to work with, and so the contractors wanted to get into that area first. They've set up a staging area close to Montreal Road, which you can actually see as you drive along the 174. You'll see a lot of work in this area to begin with, and then next year you'll start to see the work further to the east all the way out to Trim. So just some photos here. So this is some of the staging area that they're building up. Not a lot of activity in terms of comparables to what you're seeing on actual in the track, but they're ready to go. Just quickly about the west. So obviously there's already been a lot of work. You've seen a lot of work along the Sir John A. McDonald Parkway. There's been some preliminary tree removals. There's more tree removals happening next month and into November. So just a kind of a quick look at the construction schedule. So this is really broken up into three areas. The purple dotted line, really this is where they're doing the trench construction to build the cut and cover tunnel. So the 2.5 kilometer tunnel that will run essentially from Dominion and pop out right close to New Orchard and Lincoln Fields. To the further west, you see a lot of activity that starts next year. And then there's a little section just in the upper right-hand corner of the diagram that shows in red the last section that essentially that Tunney's to Dominion section, which is actually not going to start until 2021. So you see how the project is split up into those three areas. The first thing that they really focused on was doing the geotechnical investigation in the west in order to move the Sir John A. McDonald Parkway over to make space for the cut and cover tunnel. So we've started moving the road, we've started moving some of the multi-use pathways. Everything's essentially shifting over so we can make space for that trench. So looking ahead for the rest of the year, you're going to see a few more tree removals into November through Byron Linear Park and a few other areas along the SJAM to kind of get stuff out of the way. You're going to see additional geotechnical, and very quickly by the end of the year, you'll see the Sir John A. McDonald Parkway shifting over so we can start work on the cut and cover tunnel, which is essentially the crux of the work in the west. So with that, I'll take questions on the Stage 2 work in progress.
Okay, thank you. Just on the last, if you go back to the last slide about the tree cutting, I know Councillor Kavanaugh is aware of this. This is going to be a big shock to people in the West End, particularly in my neighborhood, where all of the trees basically are coming down on the Byron Linear Park. And I asked staff to make sure that we really over-communicated that issue, because I think when the chainsaws come out, people are going to say, I didn't know this was happening, but there is a reforestation plan that will actually provide more trees than is there now. So staff, I think, are going to try to do something from a design point of view on the signs to let people know not to be surprised when, these beautiful trees that have been there for a long time are cut down, because that's going to be the trench to the western part of the LRT. Councillor Elshantiri, please.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Morgan, I have a question for you on a first slide. When you talk about transit will be within 5 kilometers for any part of the city, I must miss something what you said. Can you put back slide number one? Maybe number two, the one the 5 kilometers with Stage 2 complete, the city or train network will bring 77 Ottawa residents within 5 kilometers. 5 kilometers from where? Like, where's the measurement here?
Essentially, if you draw a planning circle around the stations, around the line, and then you overlay the population of the city onto that, you're able to capture 77%.
Okay. I thought your calculation was wrong, because from Fitzroy to that section is about 40 kilometers or maybe so.
You're in the 23%.
Thank you. Councillor Dudas, please.
Perfect, thank you. First of all, I'll just say I'm very excited about Stage 1, but I'm even more excited about Stage 2 for the East End in particular. That's not my question. I have two questions. So the Saddler vehicles, I had an opportunity to have a resident of mine who has accessibility issues come out and see what the Stage 1 vehicles look like. He was very appreciative of a lot of the accessibility features, and he had some feedback in respect to maybe some improvements going forward. Is there any leeway with these vehicles to add those changes to increase accessibility at all to those vehicles that are coming in?
So there's, I guess, there's always opportunity for feedback, and certainly we did, in Stage 1 on the Alstom vehicle, there was a lot of discussions, there was a mock-up, it was a big vehicle order. These vehicles will be similar in design and nature to what we have today on the Trillium Line, similar to the Alstom vehicles, the diesels that we have today. We've tried to take into consideration some of those, the early kind of feedback we received about the number of doors, being able to get on and off the vehicles. So currently today with the doors, if you have a door cut out, you have to take that vehicle out of service. It's difficult to get the passenger off. adding extra doors provides some redundancy. There is an opportunity if there's kind of feedback on the final footprint of how the seats work in that accessible area to provide that feedback. So I'm happy to take that back and see if there's an opportunity to incorporate that.
Wonderful. I'll make sure that he's connecting. And I have another question in respect to revenue generation and utilizing the stations, particularly in the East End. The stations themselves will be in the middle of the highway, which puts some limitations but also might add some opportunities. And I'm just curious in respect to what opportunities we're looking for in terms of either adding any retail, any using the stations for things like, for instance, leasing out to communications, utilities, anything that we can do to help generate some revenue into the city's coffers to, you know, make sure these things are paying.
In terms of the current design of the stations, for those stations in the east, they don't include retail spaces, so that's not part of the current design. I know Mr. Manconi's looked a lot in the past at kind of advertising opportunities and that type of thing, so I defer to him on that.
Yeah, unfortunately, we don't have the space for retail, but also just to manage expectations on retail. They're not large-scale operations because you have a very busy system. People aren't lingering like a commuter rail system and so forth. They're in and out. And a lot of the studies that we looked at and actually visited a lot of the sites, subways, high-volume subways and stuff, the retail hasn't done well. You can actually look it up online. There's been a lot of bad retail spaces where people have tried to draw too much money out of it. Our proposal, we went out twice for stage one. We got very, very innovative in terms of we didn't want to be in the retail space management business because it's not our expertise. So we've got a good revenue split that's coming our way. But you have to be very specific on what types of retails. And it's very limited because people are going, they just want to go and get their train. And the service is so frequent, there's no lingering time. It's not like a commuter rail system or Up Express where you're going to the airport and so forth. So there's no space. But there is a review of all the advertising space that we have. The mayor's asked for that. The first 2 years, we don't do advertising. We're coming back with a full report, and I think that's an opportunity for some revenue generation there.
Well, and if I can ask that you not just consider the advertising, but potentially, like I said, communications opportunities. Many of us throughout our communities are already being approached by various communications groups asking for towers to be put up. Maybe this is an opportunity to utilize a space that we're already building that is accessible to communities. There's probably tons of opportunities, best practices across the world of municipalities doing this kind of thing. So I just ask that you continue to look at that, and I'll work with you to do it if you wish.
Great. Thank you, Councillor Dudas. Councillor Cavanaugh, please.
Thank you very much. And thank you for this presentation. Of course, Bay Ward is incredibly excited about Stage 2. They're treating the Confederation Line as kind of a warm-up act for Stage 2 because it's kind of a tease for them since they will still continue to go on buses and then transfer over to Confederation Line. So my questions and concerns are about accessibility to stations. As we're planning these routes, we still have work to do in terms of making sure that we work with our public works and also the NCC on making good routes, walking routes, to the stations. This is something that's still in progress as we figure out access points to the stations. And I want to say I appreciate that we're going to be meeting with the community, that your team is coming out to meet with Bay Ward community. This is very, very important because we still have a lot of work to do on that side. I've always said that we've wasted billions of dollars if people can't walk to the station. We have to have good routes. We have to ensure that snow clearing and other things are prioritized so that people can get there. It's not just about the station. It's about getting there. So I just want your comments on plans on that. Thank you.
So absolutely, we've met with a number of councillors to date, and I think that's been kind of the primary focus is connectivity to the stations, walking, cycling, drop-offs, but wanting to understand the bus connections. So there's a team working on that, lockstep with OC Transpo and with transportation planning to make sure that we get all of your feedback and that we make all of the connections to the stations, as good as they can be.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Brockington, please.
Thanks, Your Worship. Just one question, and that's regarding Walkley Station. Within a radius of about 300 meters, there's four things that are going to be happening over the next 3 or 4 years. The Bank Street redesign will have a new crosswalk that connects the Ridgemont community to the west side of Bank. The RioCan property, which has a Swiss chalet and a new Starbucks, will have a multi-use pathway built through it to go west. The private property on that side is going to have two new condo towers built. Site plan's been approved. And then you get to our property, the rail line, which is about 200 meters south of Walkley Road. We're going to build a multi-use pathway. Let's assume the buildings are delayed, the RioCan property is delayed. Help me understand how we will continue to build our pathway through these properties to connect to Bank Street. I want to know what our plan is, and again, if you don't have the answer now, that's something I just want you to take note of, but both community associations on either side want to know, if the private development is delayed for whatever reason, will we still have the connectivity the communities are expecting to get from the residential communities to Walkley Station? So if I could leave that with you, I would like an answer.
Absolutely, we'll take that away. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Brockington. Councillor Luloff, please.
Thanks so much for your presentation. Really looking forward to riding the train for the first time this weekend. A lot of hard work went into this. I'd like to provide direction to staff on stage two. Given that a fatal collision occurred on the slip lane at the Jeanne d'Arc and 174 overpass, and that the redesigned intersection will provide enhanced safety for pedestrians and those accessing transit on the bridge, would staff please assess the prioritization of the improvements to the Jeanne d'Arc and 174 overpass as part of LRT Stage 2 construction with a view to beginning these improvements in the spring of 2020? Thank you.
Okay, so that's direction to staff. Thank you. Does anyone else have any questions or comments on Stage 2? No. Thank you very much.